And he was the founder of a prayer movement called the 24/7 Prayer Movement, which started in a tiny church hall a few years ago, many years ago, and expanded and exploded out all many countries in the world. And he's produced many resources, many books, written loads of stuff on prayer and the different types of prayer within the Christian faith, what we can learn, how we can pray, and how we can pray better, how we can learn to grow in our prayer lives. And this is all available online at theprayercourse.org. We've got a number of other prayer courses, and so there's a series of videos that go along with the teaching that we're covering. But what really got me thinking about this series is that in my new role as a caretaker at the school at Rushmere Hall, I get to marvel at all the display boards that all the children have put together. And on these boards, often the school values and the things that they want the children to attain to, and there's things like try new things, keep growing, and be inquisitive, ask questions. And there's commitment and this desire to keep learning and to keep growing and to keep seeking to understand. And I think that's what is at the heart of what God has for us, that he wants us to keep growing, to keep learning, to keep wanting to understand the things that are in the Bible, and then the way that God wants us to live. And in other words, we never stop growing, we never stop learning, we never stop seeking to understand what God is saying. And we're all at different parts of the journey. Some of us grew up in church, like myself. Some of us didn't. Some of us are perhaps new to the faith. Some of us are perhaps, wouldn't call ourselves Christians yet. So we're all at different stages of the journey, but it's all about seeking to grow together. And Pete Greg, his whole focus is on the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps in school you learn that. You have to learn the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Some of us might have had to learn that in school. But what Pete Gray does in this series is that he takes a line of the Lord's Prayer each week, each session. And he basically does an explanation of it. That's basically what he does. He's been taking a line of the Lord's Prayer. What does this mean? So we're looking at this morning. This is the last one that he covers in the prayer course. Is deliver us from evil. And so in a minute we're going to be thinking about this theme of the prayer course. What is spiritual warfare? What does that mean? What does that mean as we live out our lives? So we're going to start by watching a video. And this video comes from a pastor in America called Stephen Furtick, and it's based on spiritual warfare. So let's watch this short clip together. As Christians, we call ourselves Christians this morning, followers of Jesus. We're meant to be nice, aren't we? We're meant to be kind, we're meant to be loving, all those things. But this language of fighting? I'll be honest, I didn't hear any of this growing up, what we're touching on today. It's all new to me. And Pete Gregg, who wrote this prayer course, introduces this topic with a statement saying, if you don't understand spiritual warfare, you don't understand prayer. If you don't understand spiritual warfare, you don't understand prayer. It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? He reminds us that there is an enemy called the devil. We're in a battle. And Jesus is asking in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. And for Jesus, the reality is that there is an enemy. There is a devil. And Pete Gregg makes this point in his teaching that it's only in the last 200 years that in the West we've done away with all of this talk of the devil, of the supernatural, especially in the church. But in the other cultures in the world, in the East, they embrace it. They see these things that they believe in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. They believe that there is such a thing as a spiritual world. A couple of 100 years ago, we had the Enlightenment period in the West coming in, and that was this sense that actually all this supernatural stuff, we don't need it. We've got our minds, we can educate and reason and think for ourselves, and all this stuff about supernatural anything. Forget it, we don't need that anymore. But actually, that's not what the Bible, and especially Jesus, teaches. One of the things that we think about is that when we come to a topic like this, our first reaction can be, goodness me, the devil, demons, you trying to put fear of God in me? Well, no, it's about education and seeking to understand so that we can be equipped and be ready so that we have the tools needed to fight battles. What's interesting is that the Baptist Union have their own ministry called a deliverance ministry. The Baptist Church, within that church, the Baptist Union, a specific group of people who say actually, they're trained to bring deliverance because to people, that people who might be afflicted or infected by some sort of demonic spirit. And this is a recognition that there is a spiritual realm. And in 2021, so last year over COVID, the Baptist Union put out a paper, a study, warning people about the occult and the spiritual practices, about contacting the dead. And there's been a lot of interest in this sort of stuff, hasn't there, about sort of the occult and all these strange practices, you know, and things. And so even the church right now are trying to almost catch up and say, actually, we recognize that there is a spiritual element behind all that is happening. But what do we do? What can we learn? And it's about going back to the Bible. And Pete Gray reminds us that if we want to have a Jesus-centered worldview, if we want to have a biblical worldview, we have to embrace and understand the fact that there is a spiritual realm. That there's a realm of angels and demons and all of these different things. And it's not to scare people, it's to inform us so that we can get ready, so that we can be equipped for when the battles come. All the way through Scripture, we are introduced, even at the beginning, Genesis, we are introduced to the devil. We are introduced to angels and visions and dreams and all of this supernatural stuff, very early on in the Bible, actually. And it goes all the way through the Old Testament, all the way into the New Testament, and it follows on. We can't escape it. We can't deny the reality of that. But so often our Christian faith doesn't, perhaps the way that we've been brought up or educated or things that we've been taught don't allow for these realities. If you go on Netflix or any of these TV shows, there's so much, isn't there, on the supernatural or horror movies or horror, you know, all of that sort of stuff. There's a real, almost like an interest, a fascination with the supernatural and the spiritual world. And so we know it's out there, but as Christians, what is our response to all of this? Is it to disbelieve it and to say, oh, you know, that's a load of rubbish, you know, it doesn't exist? Is it to bury your heads in the sand? Is it to suddenly become super spiritual and go, oh no, there's demons, you know? Or is it to have a healthy perspective on all of this? There's a great man, C.S. Lewis, who was a man of great intellect, and he wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, which I mentioned before, and he wrote this out of his own belief and conviction that there was a spiritual realm. And that demons and the devil was real. And you might think, that's a man of high intellect, of great education, a man who's written many books, Mere Christianity, all of these top-selling books. But here is a man who's saying, hang on a minute, we have to understand that there is evil, demons. But he says, look, you don't need to become too extreme either way, but you do need to recognize the reality and understand that there is a spiritual battle. There's one of, that's his book, The Screwtape Letters, a short book that we released at the moment, and I recommend it that if you get a copy, you get second-hand books on his Amazon. And a recent one that's came out last year by Pastor Mistakes, John Mark Comer, he wrote a foreword to Pete Gregg's new book, actually, Live Low Lives, recognise and resist the three enemies, because that sabotage your peace. And he's got a section in there about the devil and about how he responds to the supernatural. So, but as we come to think of this, and we come to think of all of these things, Pete Gregg reminds us that in Jesus' day, when Jesus was teaching and Jesus had his ministry here on earth, there was often three groups of people around him. He had the crowds, but then he had like the religious groups, the religious people. And the first group, you have a group called the Sadducees, that was their name, this name of the first religious group. And they were around Jesus, and they just were like, you know what, all this supernatural demon angels, it's all rubbish, it's nonsense. They didn't believe in any of that. And then there was a group of people called the Essenes, another group of people, and they were like the spiritual, like, completely what, everything is spiritual, everything is this, everything is that, and like proper passion, and angels, demons, everything all the time. And then there was the Pharisees, and these were the groups of people that the law of Moses and taught the law, and their response to all of this stuff, they believed in it, they believed in the supernatural, but their view of sort of dealing with it was just trying to live a holy life, and not pay any sort of lip service to the idea of a spiritual battle. They created 613 laws. And if they followed them, they'd be right. And that was their response to dealing with all this stuff. They sort of recognised it verbally, but they didn't really, you know, believe that there was any sort of spiritual battle and attack. But Pete Gregg makes the point that actually Jesus came up against all of these different views. And so that actually, the reality is that there is a devil, and there is a spiritual battle that you're in, and you have to learn how to handle it. Jesus himself calls the devil the father of lies, the father of lies. And Jesus says that the devil's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. He just wants to cause havoc, destruction, pain, suffering, and cause as much damage in the world as he can. That's what Jesus said that he's come to do. Jesus says that I've come to give life, and life to the full. I just want to look briefly at a passage this morning, and it's from a book in the Bible called Ephesians. And this is the book of Ephesians was written to some Christians in Ephesus, in Turkey, a place I've been actually, and seen all the archaeological stuff from the Bible and all these places that are there and all these things. But this man called Paul, he was a highly educated man in Jewish law and tradition, but he became a follower of Jesus and had a massive conversion to Christianity. And as a result, he went around and started growing churches and sharing the good news of Jesus. But he also wrote letters to teach the Christians about how to live. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 down to 17 is a passage that Pete Gregg gives us. I'm going to read it off here because it's a different version in here. But this is what Paul writes to the Christians. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." So that's the reality that Paul is talking about. So our battle. So he's made it really clear that there's evil and there's the spiritual forces of evil. And so he gives the solution to this, and that is put on the full armour of God. So that when the day of evil comes, You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything that, and then he, this is the Father, oh God, I think I missed out some of it. I'm going to read it from my Bible, sorry. Let me see. It says, therefore, you have every piece of God's armor, so you're able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, what Paul is saying, that the reality of evil is there, the devil's real, but here's what you do. Here's what you do. And so, there's all these different types of armour, and what it is, it's to protect us, it's to defend us. And what we're not saying is that, you know, the devil all the time, oh no, the devil, I've got obsessed with the devil. But it's just recognising that every day we need to be equipped and have the right tools to make sure we're standing strong in our faith. One of the biggest battles is for the mind. It's for the mind. And we have lots of issues, don't we, in our own country. Some of us know this in our own family. Some might know this as a personal experience, that the battle with mental health, the battle with anything on that nature, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Yeah? And, you know, the devil wants to cause as much pain and confusion and hurt as possible. And, you know, we need the medical profession alongside all of the other things as well. But the devil is called the father of lies. You know, he wants to condemn Christians. He wants to make you feel bad and say, oh, you're no good Christian, you're no good, you just all the time you mess up and you get things wrong, and you're not very valuable, you're not loved, you can't make a difference, you can't do this. So the devil wants us to live in this place of like, there's condemnation where we just feel bad about ourselves. And we just feel guilty, and we just feel like, oh, you know, I'm no good. And that's why all of this stuff is really important, because the Word of God is like a sword. And it's the Word of God that teaches us who we are in Jesus, like how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, how much He's got a plan for us, how much He's made us strong in Him. He's made us strong in Him. And so what Pete Gregg ends with this, he ends with this study by getting us to think about the fact that there is a battle going on, but actually we can view the battle from a place of victory, because the Bible tells us that when Jesus died, he stripped all of the spiritual rulers and authorities of their power to condemn, that there was power through the cross of Jesus, that it wasn't just a forgiveness of sins, which is what it is at the core, but also something happened in the spiritual realm, where Satan, the devil, lost his power over humanity, and Jesus offers redemption and forgiveness and coming into the family of God. So this idea, not idea, this reality of spiritual warfare is a very real reality. And I want to take us back to that quote. In a minute I'm going to read a prayer from Pete Gregg. That if we don't understand spiritual warfare, we don't understand prayer. If we don't understand spiritual warfare, we don't understand prayer. Is everything of the devil? If you get in an argument with your partner, you know, is that the devil? Probably not. Probably because you've got a bad attitude somewhere, you know. I'll speak to myself in that, you know, grumpy at times and at a moment, that's my wife and I should do. Is that the devil? No, it's not. You know, it's just because I've got a, you know, bad attitude that I just need to say sorry to God for. But neither must we sort of dismiss the reality of the spiritual realm. because it's real. Pete Gray reminds us, as I close, that the devil's been defeated at the cross, but he hasn't been completely finished off. And he's still trying to destroy, that he's trying to devour Christians, keep them away from the church, keep them away from living lives with each other. He wants to separate them and isolate them so they go off on their own. And that way he can just pick apart their faith. And one of the realities of all this is that we're meant to be family, we're meant to be a community of followers, and we're meant to be open and honest about our own struggles and weaknesses. Because otherwise the enemy, he will try and keep us in a place. He'll try and keep us in a place, and yet Jesus wants to bring us into freedom. And there's freedom in Christ. The Bible says that Jesus came for this reason, to destroy the works of the devil. That was Jesus' main purpose. Find that in the book of John, that Jesus came to destroy the power of the devil. We are in a spiritual battle, friends, but we don't need to become despairing, because we have all the tools that we need to overcome. We have the Bible, we have prayer, we have amazing resources like the Peak Great Prayer Course, which I recommend to anybody to go and watch the videos, 20 minutes each. We have each other. We have a family and a community. I think as we move on from this, a weak prayer course, it would be very tempting, wouldn't it, to say, oh, that was nice, or didn't quite get that, and then we just shelve it and forget about it. That's what happened most of the time. I forget things that often I've talked about. But the reality is that we've got to learn how to equip ourselves with all the prayers. All the prayers. That's what Paul tells us in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Pray all different kinds of prayers. And if we want to see more people come to faith, more people coming to God's family and kingdom, then we have to learn how to pray all the prayers that are in the Bible. Like I said, there's so much more on B. Greg, in his resources. He's got something called the Tool Shed on the Prayer Course website, where he's got loads of material that you can print on for free and download it and read some more. But I want to finish with a prayer, and then we're going to have a song, and you might want to stand or sit, and then I'll lead us through a time of communion, and I'll explain about that in a minute. But I want to read this prayer that Pete Gregg put together as we come to an end of this prayer course. And he actually calls it the warfare prayer. And it's something that I've come across, but I'm finding it helpful and continue to use it. So this is the prayer that Pete Gregg gives us. He says, Heavenly Father, I come to you today as your beloved son or daughter. I worship you and I give you praise. You are worthy to receive all of the glory and honor and praise. Today, I renew my allegiance to you, Jesus, my Savior, my friend, my Lord, and my King. I thank you for saving me, Jesus, and for the forgiveness of sins through the victory of the cross and resurrection. Thank you that you triumphed over all principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. I stand in that victory today, believing that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I put on the armour of God today. I put on the belt of truth today. I believe that you are the truth, Jesus. Your words are true, and I am in you. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. By faith I stand, firm-footed in your Calvary love that forgives my sins. And I walk forward today in confidence to share this good news with others. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, protect my heart. I'm a new creation, and I have received the righteousness of Jesus. I choose to die to self again today and display your righteousness through my words and actions. I put on the helmet of salvation. Renew my mind afresh today. I declare my mind set apart for you, and therefore I reject the insinuations, the accusations, and the lies of the devil. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I lift up the shield of faith to resist all against all the fiery darts of the enemy. Deliver me from evil and work in my life, that there can be no ground to give Satan a foothold against me. I take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and in the victory of Jesus I advance today, knowing that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. I break the strongholds of the devil formed against my body, soul, and spirit today, and choose to make godly decisions today by the grace of God. I rejoice in you today, Jesus. May your joy be my strength as your grace and mercy follow my life. Jesus, you are my vision. Amen.